Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Hello, everybody. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and I want to welcome you to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We're so glad to have you with us. If this is your first Sunday worshiping with us, we're glad that you're here and you've decided to make this your spiritual home this Sunday morning. And if you've been worshiping with us a long time, we're so glad to have you with us as well. We are a church that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God. And we hope that this morning's service is a blessing to you as you gather for worship in the comfort of your own home or wherever the Spirit finds you this morning. We wanted to invite you to take a moment and share this service with somebody who you think might be interested in joining us through the Lenten season. It's easy to invite a friend to church these days. All you have to do is send them to a link to our Facebook page, letting them know that we'll be live at 9:30 in the morning on Sundays. In addition to gathering this Sunday for worship, we want to let you know that there are wonderful opportunities. Our church is opening up for all kinds of small group gatherings throughout the course of this week. There are multiple groups that will be studying the scripture passage that's preached on today and a book by Adam Hamilton, The Way. So we encourage you to visit our website if you'd like to join a small group this week. We'd love to have you join one of the many small groups that are being offered here at this church. And with that, we invite you to enjoy this service, sing along to the songs if you know them, and find some way of drawing closer to God and closer to your neighbor as we worship God together this day.
Take away, you give and take. Good morning. My name is Tom Doan, and I'm going to be your liturgist for today. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to you in prayer as our Lenten journey begins. We are forever grateful for your coming so that we could know you. Lead us through your baptism, your temptation, your ministry, and your humanity as we follow in your footsteps. Help us to remember our own baptism when the difficulties of life test us. Give us strength to turn toward the love and grace that you provide. In your holy name we pray. Amen. This morning there will be two readings regarding the early ministry of Jesus. First one is Matthew 3, 13, 17, titled The Baptism of Jesus. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The second reading is from Matthew 4, 1-11, the temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a word of prayer. O most holy and loving God, we give you thanks for this day. We give you thanks for the scripture that has been read. We give you thanks for this time of worship. Whether we are gathered in person or we're gathered online, we give you thanks for this church community and for your love and for your grace. And so, God, I give you thanks for the word that I'm going to share this morning, praying that you might speak to me and speak through me, Lord. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, God. You who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our 40-day journey through Lent has begun. It started on Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, when people drove through our Brighton and our Whitmore Lake campuses to receive ashes, the sign of the cross on their forehead. And then we remembered in that moment that from dust we're created, and to God's good dust we shall return. After being marked with the sign of the cross, we received Holy Communion, remembering that Jesus shares with us the bread of life and the cup of grace, and we're reminded in that moment that Jesus journeys with us through Lent, from Ash Wednesday to Easter morning. Lent, it's that season in the Christian calendar year when we journey towards Easter. It's that season in the Christian calendar year when we find ways intentionally to grow in our relationship with Jesus. Now, we can do this either by giving something up that hinders our relationship with Jesus, or we can do this by taking something on, like a spiritual discipline. Well, this Lenten season, our church community wants to invite you to read The Way. It's a book by Adam Hamilton. We would invite you to join a small group community for discussion and for study. This is a great spiritual discipline opportunity. This Lenten season, our church community is also going to invite you and would love to have you follow along in our Lenten calendar. Our adult discipleship team created this calendar, and it's filled with scripture readings and folks to pray for and mission opportunities. Again, this is a great spiritual discipline that you might consider. So together, through worship and study and prayer, through service, through inviting people to church and church activities, and through our financial giving, we're able to grow as disciples of Jesus Christ. Again, they are all wonderful spiritual disciplines. They're all possibilities for growth. Lent, it brings about those opportunities to embrace, and it brings about the opportunity to release those things, those hindrances, and set them aside as we seek to fully follow Jesus. As we think about Lent and as we think about its purpose, I'm reminded of a movie that took place during Lent, The Plot did. I'm reminded of the movie Chocolate. It came out in 2000, 20 years ago now, starring Johnny Depp and Juliette Binoche. The movie tells this story of a sly wind blowing in from the north into a tiny town in 1959. And with the wind came a woman and her six-year-old daughter. They're in red coats, and they make their way into this French town, and it becomes their new home. They purchase a little shop with an apartment overhead, and then just before Lent begins, their shop opens for business. Divine handmade chocolates is what they sell. Dark chocolate and milk chocolate and white chocolate and hot chocolate and spicy chocolate. Chocolates of all types and shapes and sizes and colors fill the shop and eventually entice curious customers into the store. Now, most townspeople would probably welcome a new chocolate shop. I would love to have a new chocolate shop next to my house or next to one of our church campuses. That would be wonderful. And most townspeople would probably welcome new people into their community. But this little French village didn't embrace this new family and certainly didn't embrace the shop with open arms. The townspeople, they were rather stiff, quite rigid, and abstained from such sweet treats. The town seemed to have a little air of judgment about them, a reluctance to embrace, by which was definitely spearheaded by their mayor with great power and control. In fact, the mayor even influenced what the priest preached on Sunday mornings, writing his homilies, his sermons, and telling him what to say. How could you open a chocolate shop during Lent? They thought. How absurd was the perspective of the mayor. But throughout the movie, these new strangers eventually become dear friends with the townsfolks, and their friendships through them, they learn from one another about love and laughter and truly living again. From chocolates grew friendship and hope and community and forgiveness and grace. From chocolate grew new adventures and healing and new possibilities. While friendships were forming and the customers were shopping, the mayor continued to cast shame upon the woman and her chocolate shop. And from the mayor's perspective, the chocolate shop was a temptation far too great, that it led people astray during Lent. That from the mayor's view, the Lenten season was a time to focus on self-denial and abstinence, and it wasn't a time to enjoy sweet chocolate treats. The mayor was convinced the chocolates would make people stray from their faith. And so in this desperate attempt, in this desperate moment, the mayor decided to break into the shop and destroy it all. However, in this great act of madness, and a little bit of chocolate kind of landed upon the mayor's lip. And in that moment of temptation, he bended to the temptation and tasted that delicious treat. And then he proceeded to make himself sick, indulging in so much chocolate and making a mess of everything in that storefront window that he fell asleep in tears with his belly filled of chocolate. Well, in the morning, he woke up in that chocolate shop window, and he was a changed man. He was a different man. I see him as leaving behind judgments and criticism and anger and resentments. I see him as leaving behind his own brokenness and realization about the beauty of a sweet treat and the community that can be formed as a result of that store opening. In the closing moments of the movie, the priest, this young priest, enters the pulpit where we're taken to the scene in the church. And this young priest enters the pulpit and he begins to preach. This time, of course, speaking his own words, not the words that had typically been written for him by the mayor. But this young priest goes forward to preach a homily, and it's only a few minutes long, but it was something that the townspeople, they needed to hear. So he entered the pulpit and he said, "I'm not sure what the theme of my homily ought to be. Do I want to speak of the miracle of our Lord's divine transformation? Not really, no. I don't want to talk about his divinity. I want to talk about his humanity. I mean, you know, how he lived his life here on earth, his kindness, his tolerance. Listen here, this is what I think. I think we can't go around measuring our goodness by what we don't do, by what we deny ourselves, by what we resist and who we exclude. I think we've got to measure goodness by what we embrace, by what we create, and who we include." That was the priest's short little homily that Sunday. For the mayor that day, he learned that Lent is not really just about resisting sweet chocolates. Instead, I think he learned that Lent is about resisting the temptations of judgment and criticism and hatred. The mayor learned that we are called not to resist a bonbon or a truffle. After all, what harm can they really do unless you're diabetic? Instead, the greater temptation we're called to resist is hurtful, harmful words and pessimism and self-criticism and selfishness and greed. Maybe that's what the mayor learned that day. During the season of Lent, if we were pondering what we might give up or what we might take on, let's pause for a moment and think about those things that separate us from fully loving God and neighbor. You know, what's a part of your life right now that isn't healthy? Is there something? What is a part of your life right now that's a barrier to fully loving Jesus? Is there a pattern or a practice or a behavior, a choice that you're really not proud of that causes harm to yourself or other people? Those things that you might think of, those things that you might name quietly to yourself, those are the places where we fall short. Those are the times that we miss the mark, that we often sin. In chapter one of our Lent study this week with Adam Hamilton, he shared that sin is about missing the mark. It's getting off the path that God would have intended for us. We all miss the mark. We all sin. We all fall short. So I'd encourage you as you begin this Lenten season to take a time of reflection, to take a time of self-examination. Ponder for a moment what God might be asking you to give up. Not just temporarily for 40 days during this season, but what might God be asking you to give up permanently? Where are you missing the mark? Where could you do better? Do you need to give up the sin of resentment and lean into forgiveness? Or do you need to give up the sin of bitterness and embrace the joy of life? Do you need to give up the sin of worry and find hope and trust? Or do you need to give up the sin of comparison and uncover contentment? Or if it's not those kinds of things, is there something more tangible that you need to give up? A vice, something you crave, a pattern of behavior you turn to when you're stressed? Is there something that you've developed over time that isn't consistent with how Jesus would call you to live as his disciple? Is there a pattern of eating too much or turning to the bottle too often or neglecting your physical or mental health? Reviewing materials that denigrate other human beings, or using family finances in unhealthy means, or talking about others in gossiping tones, or raising your voice or lifting your hand, or insisting upon perfection, or depending upon excuses and sidestepping responsibilities. What might you need to give up so that you could be set free? What might you need to give up to more fully follow in the way of Jesus, to honor God, to look at yourself in the mirror and be proud of whom you see, to be proud of the reflection looking back at you? It's hard to give all those things up. I mean, that's why it's called temptation. Those things are appealing at first. They're shiny, they're sparkly, they grab our attention, they lure us in, but in the end, they just cause harm. You know that. So where does this leave us? Because if you find yourself shaking your head thinking, "You're asking me, preacher, to give up yet one more thing? One more thing in the midst of a very long year where we've constantly had to give up things?" I hear you. I hear how hard it's been to give up things, but the difference is I'm asking you to consider what you might be able to give up so that you actually find more life and more light in return. What might you give up so it doesn't take more energy from you? What might you give up so your relationships might be better and stronger? What might you give up so that your time with God might be fuller and your calendar might be clearer to have that time with God? What might you give up so you can testify to the experience of God's amazing grace? We all know the pains of giving things up during a pandemic, but what I'm talking about is giving up those things so that life is fuller and richer and more beautiful. The scripture lesson this morning reminds us that Jesus experienced temptation. Three times, the tempter came to him, first with a temptation about food, secondly with a temptation to jump from the high pinnacle of the temple, which might be translated into jumping and ending one's life. Adam Hamilton talked about that in his book this week. And finally, with the temptation, the third one, to gain wealth and to gain power. All three of those temptations, again, Adam Hamilton in the study spoke a little bit more fully about those. I'd encourage you to read the chapter if you haven't yet. The first temptation of food, the second temptation of ending one's life, that could be an interpretation, and the third temptation of gaining power and wealth. Jesus, being both fully human and fully divine, he knew and he experienced temptation just like we do. Temptation meaning that it was appealing to him. So through the scriptures, we see a very human, a very real side of Jesus that we could relate to. And we learn in the scripture that for even a moment of time, even for just a brief moment in time, he experienced temptation just like we do. Some of us can relate to Jesus experiencing the temptation of food. Some of us can also relate to Jesus that ending one's life is also tempting. And some of us can also relate to Jesus that seeking constant wealth and power is also tempting. Jesus knew our temptation. He understood those shiny, glimmery, eye-catching, appealing temptations. He understood the very desire to seek after that. And when we find ourselves or our loved ones with unhealthy food relationships, he understood. Or when we find ourselves or our loved ones ending their life to suicide or attempting to end their life to suicide, Jesus understood. He knew their pain. When we find ourselves or a loved one seeking wealth and power, Jesus too knew that temptation and he knew the struggle. So we can take comfort in knowing that Jesus knows our pain and understands our struggle and helps us through and loves us always, both in those moments when we're able to overcome the struggle and in those moments when the struggle overcomes us. God loves us. And there is nothing that we could ever do to make God love us less. There's nothing that we could ever do to make God stop loving us, period. God loves us always, even in the midst of those temptations and even in the midst of the struggle. He loves us and he understands. This Lenten season, if you're keen on giving something up, let it be those things and behaviors and attitudes that stop you from loving God and neighbor. But don't just give it up for Lent as if it's a short-term diet. Let it become a way of life, a way of living. And this Lenten season, if you're keen on adding a spiritual discipline, let it be those things and attitudes and behaviors and practices that spark your love for God and serving neighbor. And again, don't let it just be a short-term spiritual practice. But may it be a part of your lifelong discipleship as a follower of Jesus Christ. May you seek to bring about peace and hope and joy and love into the world during Lent. But not just during Lent, not just for these 40 days, but always. as you walk in the footsteps of Christ. Amen.
Good morning. I hope you're staying warm and safe this morning. Will you join me in an attitude of prayer? Let's pray. Merciful and loving God, as winter continues to bless us with cold and snow, we crave warmth and reminders of your love. When we wake to a fresh blanket of snow and the sunlight makes everything sparkle, we give thanks for God's beauty and our safety. We are also concerned that some of your children awaken to cold and life-threatening conditions. When we learn of folks who are caught without power or heat during these storms, we pray, Lord, how can we help? And Lord, please protect these your children. As the days slowly grow longer and we enjoy every glimpse of sunshine, we are reminded to give you thanks for never leaving us, not in the darkness and not in the light. In the darkest, coldest days of our lives, Lord, we can rely on your love and steadfastness. Help us to lean not on our own understanding, but to turn to you for direction. As we praise you this morning and reflect on the lessons that Jesus taught us, we ask for forgiveness for when we have strayed from your will. Help us to turn toward your path and follow your way each and every time. We lift up the blessings you have placed in our lives with gratitude, the friends and family we love, the people who brave their workplace day in and day out to make our lives better. Thank you for these blessings. Let us not take it for granted. And bless those whose jobs put them in harm's way and yet mean so much for keeping the community safe and healthy. Still, Lord, there are people in our lives named and unnamed. Known and not known, who need your direct intervention. People facing fears, facing illness, facing loneliness and isolation. Help them to know right now that they are not alone, that they are loved, that the love of Jesus Christ conquers fear. Extend to them the mercy that saves and the compassion that heals. Lord, we seek wisdom and healing for our leaders, for our community, for our country. Help us to see one another with your eyes. Help us to see the path of righteousness that you have laid out so that we can follow it with courage and kindness. As we reflect on the footsteps of Jesus, we are reminded of many lessons, including how to pray together with these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Friends, we've come to the time in the service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's goodness in our life. There are lots of different ways that you can give to our church here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We would be honored simply for you to pray for us as we continue to move our way through the pandemic. We also encourage those of you who have decided to make this your spiritual home, whether online or in person, we encourage you to take a moment to visit our website so that you might make a contribution through PayPal or through our online secure giving portal so that the ministries of this church can continue. We are a church built on a legacy of incredible stewardship and extravagant generosity, And we encourage you to give generously so that the ministries here can continue to bless folks in our community. Amen.
Water that turned into wine, open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God, our God. Water can turn into wine and open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you, none like you. Into the darkness you shine, and out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you, none like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power, our God. And if our God is for us, could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against? What can stand against?
Church, as we leave this time of worship, may the love of God always be with you. May the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ fill you, and may the power of the Holy Spirit empower you to go forth in God's name to serve and to love your neighbor, to be a light to this world. Know that God walks with you. Know that God journeys with you during this Lenten season, and may you find ways to embrace spiritual disciplines, but not just now for 40 days, but for a lifetime. And may you find that time to ponder and pause what you're ready to give up. And again, not just now, but for a lifetime. Go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to you.
Turn into us. And if our God is with us, then what could stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what could stand against?